Hey, what's up, everyone? I got a bit of a bonus for you guys today. Last Friday, February 2nd, I was a guest on The Majority Report with Sam Seder. And Sam has given me permission to upload this segment to my own feed here. And I joined the show to talk with Sam, Michael Brooks of The Michael Brooks Show, and the rest of The Majority Report crew to talk about QAnon and the Storm Conspiracy, as well as a few other things. Also, very important, I finally got my credit where it was due from my time working on The Majority Report when I wanted to cover things like men's rights activists and Gamergate, and Sam and Michael would poo-poo the idea of doing it even though they would let me. Finally got my props for that, you know. Anyway, you can listen to The Majority Report at majorityreportradio.com, and if you haven't caught that segment on their show, you can catch my segment right here, right now. And still, show being uploaded this week as normal. Just thought I'd give you this little bonus segment in case you were interested in taking a listen. Enjoy.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. WrestleMania music. And you know what that means. We got the WWF WrestleMania logo up right now. I think we're probably gonna get chastised a little bit because it's not up to date. But ladies and gentlemen, it is a pleasure to bring back to this program for at least a brief segment, Old Matt. Or otherwise known as Matt Binder. He is a senior video producer at Cafe.com, host of the new podcast, Doomed, which is burning
doomed
up the...
with Matt Binder.
Doomed with Matt Binder, which is burning up the iTunes charts.
Well, it's falling off now, but...
Oh, is it? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Now, Matt, where are you? Where are you? What's going on with the phones today? What's where everybody's phones stink?
Do I not sound good?
Yeah, are you like on a speakerphone?
No, I'm on. I got like my my headphones on, and I'm using the mic that's connected to the headphones.
All right, try doing it without the mic that's connected to the headphones.
All right, let me try. Give me 1 second.
Sure.
No one has a landline anymore.
What is it? Say again.
How's this? Is this better?
Sounds almost identical, but a little bit better. All right. Well, now, Matt, before we get into what you've been up to, because we got a lot to talk about, we thought we would save the Jimmy Reefer Cake song of the day so that you could hear it, because it's been so long since you had the opportunity to hear a Jimmy Reefer Cake Friday song. I mean, except for your, you know, I know your family gets together and listens to the show, but I don't know if it's on Friday. So here is... what is the Jimmy Reefer Cake song of the week?
It's called Trumpy.
Trumpy. Here it is.
He took 50 bullets, and he dipped them in pig's blood. And he had his men load his rifles, and he lined up the 50 people, and they shot 49 of those people. And the 50th person, he said, "You go back to your people, and you tell them what happened." And for 25 years, there wasn't a problem. Okay? 25 years, there wasn't a problem.
The mother of all bombs, for miles the ground is shaking. When the violence causes
too soon
silence, we must be mistaken. It's the same old theme since 2003 on TV, WMD drama. With the tanks and their bombs and their bombs and their drones in your head, in their head. Where was Obama? In your head, in your head. Zombie, zombie, zombie. What's in your head? In your head, zombie, zombie, trumpet, Obama, Obama.
I was elected to end wars.
Danworth.
Another head hangs lowly, child is slowly taken. And the violence caused such silence, who are we mistaken? It was GWB, now it's Donald Trumpy. In your head, there is trauma. With their tanks and their bombs and their bombs and their drones in your head. What went wrong with Obama? In your head, Trumpy, zombie, Trumpy. What's in your head, Trumpy, zombie, zombie. Obama, Obama.
I'm elected. Danworth.
Oh, my God.
Danworth.
Obama, yeah. Dolores O'Riordan, rest in peace.
He better not do any songs with any musicians I respect die.
There you go. There it is.
That was definitely a Jimmy Reefer Cake song.
That was... of course, Dolores O'Riordan, lead singer of the Cranberries, died. I guess it was this week or maybe last week.
She must have been pretty young, right?
45.
Oh, damn.
Maybe 45. I don't know.
Oh, that sucks.
40s. Well, there it is.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Everybody subscribe to your podcast. Take care.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Well, so let's see, moving on. There was definitely some things to commend in that song.
The melody was pretty nice.
What's that?
The melody was pretty nice. I don't know how he came up with that.
I like the idea that he went zombie Trumpy, zombie Trumpy.
Well, he included the chords in the email in case I want to play this tonight.
Gonna learn that on the uke. Matt Binder, so, okay, fill us in on the podcast. You've launched it. It's called Doomed. What do you cover on this?
Basically, politics and culture, where I'm looking at, from a leftist perspective. There's not many podcasts out there that do that, right?
No.
But, I think I have a expertise in a certain area, the way, like, your expertise is... Social Security, and Michael Brooks's expertise is the complete history of the politics of every continent, of every country on the continent of Africa. My expertise is these right-wing conspiracies, so that's where I tend to focus on.
Now, I will say this, that I remember years ago, you were like, on Matt and Mike Mondays, you're like, I'm going to cover this dude who's an MRA. And I'm like, a what? Like a men's rights advocate. And he's a pickup artist. And I'm like, what? And he's like, oh, yeah, he got his money. I just remember this, like just hearing this out of like the corner or barely paying attention to it. The guy's actually a men's rights advocate, but he made his money basically from alimony from his wife. And I didn't pay much attention to it until the guy ends up at the White House and his name is Mike Cernanovich or Cernovich.
Mike Cernovich. MikeCernovich.com.
So you.
Yeah, that's the guy. In fact, that said his name, that describes a lot of them. So I was wondering where you were going with that, who exactly you were talking about.
Right. Well, I mean, so just tell us, I mean, you've been following Cernovich for years, right?
Yeah. Basically, he was I first became aware of him when, Gamergate really took off. This was late 2014. And this guy, Mike Cernovich, saw what was going on and decided to basically use these impressionable Gamergate guys to jump off his career. And he saw that this guy, Sam Biddle, who is now a writer for The Intercept, but at the time he was with Gawker, he tweeted out, in a joking way that we should bring back bullying, and ultimately Gamergate is reaffirming what we've known to be true for decades. Nerds should be constantly shamed and degraded into submission. Which
–
Michael approves.
Which Michael tweets out unironically every now and then. But
yeah, totally unironically.
But so Mike Cernovich sees this and he decides, I'm going to go after this guy and make a video where I challenge Sam Biddle to a boxing match for charity in the name of anti-bullying. And he became this big Gamergate hero. And from there, his name just grew. And when this all happened, I was like watching this video and I'm saying to myself, okay, look at this guy. There's no way this guy is anti-bullying. Just look at him. So I checked his like his Twitter profiles and all the stuff he had out there. And the dude is not a shocker to everyone. He does not care about bullying very much.
Right.
He is a very much a bully himself back in the day and today too. But especially when he was a nobody, he would tweet at random people and just say horrible things, telling them to go kill yourself. And of course, his most famous tweets are the ones where he says that date rape doesn't exist. He tweets that Trayvon Martin got before he could rape anyone. You know, things like that. All around good guy, you know?
Now, do you have any insight into his attempted purchase of Gawker now?
I do not. I mean, he definitely has money and he's been able to crowdfund. I don't know if you know this, but he actually was able to get a crowdfund for a documentary and he's created that documentary and it is on Amazon Prime, I believe. So this
What's
guy is trying to make,
what's it about? Is it a pickup artist one or?
No, it's like, his certain like media criticism documentary or whatever.
it's like, it's I'll double dip. Noam Chomsky for the ultra stupid.
He trying to beat us to the punch?
Yeah, pretty much he did. It's called Silenced. And it's his little documentary on the state of free speech in the United States of America.
Ah.
Yeah.
Because the government has cracked down on his free speech? Do people, is there some type of like, litmus test, or is there some type of like literally initiation test that you can only be a conservative right winger if you don't understand what the First Amendment is?
I think so. That's probably really what the initiation is.
Once you got a crackdown on Cernovich.com.
Once they could confirm.
Do you think
once they confirm?
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Do you think he initially was going to make it about Sam, but couldn't dig up enough dirt on him?
Probably. I mean, I would probably
would all be clips.
The poster
from,
for it is the Statue of Liberty, like holding her mouth shut. So I'm assuming that would have been Sam's place,
right,
where the Statue of Liberty is sitting.
You shut up.
But yeah, he's got real big names for the documentary. You know, Anthony Cumia, Alan Dershowitz,
of course,
Gavin McGinnis, the guy who created Dilbert. I mean, real big names.
Oh, the guy who created Dilbert. See, that's a good. Are you tracking him, Matt? Because that guy is
real,
a freak.
Real big name.
Yeah, he's a.
No,
he's
is an ultra weirdo. No, seriously. Have you been, he's like a. Are you following him, Matt?
Yes, I do. He's pretty obvious, though. Yeah. But he's definitely
totally obvious.
He's a right winger,
crazy right wing. Yeah.
What do you mean by obvious? Like which part?
He's low hanging fruit. What I want to know about is
unlike Cernovich.
QAnon. Who's that dude?
Okay. Yeah. All right. So here's the thing. QAnon could be anybody, and it could be.
It could be
a thousand people, a million people. I could be QAnon today. You could be QAnon today. Anyone could be QAnon. Basically, around the fourth quarter of last year. These cryptic messages that the people who are in this conspiracy now call breadcrumbs were being left on 4chan. And basically, this guy who we now know as QAnon, who again could be one person or 100 million people, will leave these breadcrumbs. And all these people who believe in this conspiracy now will parse these breadcrumbs and try to figure out what the secret message is in these breadcrumbs. And this all stems from this pretty much. Do you remember back in October of 2017 when Trump was having this meeting with a bunch of military people and the press were there and Trump said, this feels like the calm before the storm?
Yes, I do remember that. They were all standing up and it was like some type of But I feel like there were wives there too, maybe, or I can't remember. But yes, I do remember.
I could have been making a marriage joke. I could have been threatening global annihilation. You don't know, and that's what's great about it.
So basically, the calm before the storm is what made all these conspiracy theorists think that it's all related, and Donald Trump was actually giving us a secret message that we don't know what's going on right now, but anytime we hear of something in the world that happened, Donald Trump had something to do with it. Anytime you hear about a Donald Trump failure, we're meant to hear about that failure because it covers what really happened, which was Donald Trump ordering some sort of takeout on some terrible person or uncovering some sort of pedophile ring. Basically, Donald Trump is responsible for anything that they like in the world and any bad guy being taken out. And this QAnon guy, they believe, is either a member of the Trump administration or Donald Trump himself leaving messages to these hardcore Trump fans about what's coming next.
No, he's not.
Wait. Excuse me. I'm on Reddit right now. Just everybody back off. I got to go into my extra. So wait a second. So
Opie's a total loser. He's never been as good as Anthony. That's
so
number one.
So basically what
number
you're telling
two,
me is
pedophile ring.
QAnon is the modern day version of Paul McCartney is dead. And we're just like seeing, like, there's just everybody sort of crowdsourcing, pushing this. Does everybody know what I'm talking about with the Paul McCartney is dead thing?
No.
Oh, okay. So during, what was it, like 1972 or something, there was I Am the Walrus, whatever, I think it was like in Sgt. Pepper's, there were all these subtle supposed hints that Paul McCartney had died in a car accident, and there was a fake Paul McCartney that had taken his place.
Oh, okay, I have heard of this.
And there were all sorts of like hints, and this is sort of sounds like it's like one of those jobbies. And people are just sort of crowdsourcing, pretending to be QAnon to leave these breadcrumbs that ultimately add up to Donald Trump being essentially Bourne, right? Jason Bourne.
Yeah, I mean, yes, pretty much. That's a great way to put it. You know, they're able to turn any, because they're so vague, these breadcrumbs, and there's so many of them, because again, anyone could be writing them. For example, in one of these posts, QAnon references a sky fortress. And they turned it into, later on, when there was a fire in Trump Tower, oh, that must have been the sky fortress he was telling us about. Trump Tower is going to be on fire.
There we go.
He told us in advance. That's how we know.
So it's like...
So anyone can log in as QAnon? I'm still a little confused.
Yeah, here's the thing. Unlike 4chan, you don't have to create a username or a profile. You just go on the board, an image board, and you just leave whatever. So this QAnon guy, who they basically call QAnon, he could be anybody. Anyone could post one of these breadcrumbs and just sign QAnon.
Okay, well, I think got some afternoon plans ahead for all of us.
I feel like this is dovetailing. Go ahead. I was going to say, I feel like this is dovetailing with the conversation we just had with Michael Shore. Like, how do we put this into some type of sales funnel and make some cash off this?
Well, people like, you know, Mike Cernovich have done that. I mean, for example, like all the major Pizzagate names are behind this. Like all the guys who helped prop up Pizzagate are behind this. Liz Crokin, who was a mainstream journalist, who is easily like one of the crazier of these conspiracy theorists now. She's the one who claims that Sean Hannity is actually in on all this, and he wants to talk about all this on the air, but he's got to play it safe. And, you know, Sean Hannity didn't really do himself any favors when he talked about Seth Rich and all this stuff, so maybe she's right. Maybe she's not a conspiracy theorist.
I think Sean is too dumb to use the computer, but definitely wants to talk about it on air. Do you think, though, Matt, like... I mean, when I studied in Turkey, I remember people, there really was like, especially at that time, there literally was sort of what they say is happening now. There actually was like a coup and counter coup between the government and I guess what you could call the deep state there, essentially the military. And what somebody said to me once was that in Turkey, so many people think in terms of conspiracy theories that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like, there actually are a ton of conspiracies happening in this political culture, because even when none were happening, other people were like anticipating things from other people and making them up and then actually creating the thing itself. And do you think like now that all of these people have gone from, like, you know, I don't know, like something crazy on 4chan is influencing policy. So now, like, the thing that you and I are joking about a couple of weeks ago probably is, like, actually a real thing in some form within a couple of weeks.
Yeah, because, okay, for example, take the memo release today. The same guys promoting Pizzagate who moved on to QAnon are now rolling the memo into QAnon. And that's what actually why QAnon is sort of taking off and people are calling it the next Pizzagate. Because unlike Pizzagate, where it was a set thing, you know, the very sensical belief that there is a underground pedophile ring happening in a pizza place in Washington, D.C. That, you know, that was a very specific thing that, you know, once that dies down, where else can you take it? Whereas this QAnon thing is, anything can be part of this conspiracy because anything can wrap up into it. Anyone could leave this breadcrumb that basically states some sort of vague, poetic-looking, like, line-structured thing that he leaves, and people will parse this as, oh, it must mean this when this thing happens. Like, they'll look back and say, oh, that must have been what he was talking about. And the thing is, like, there's, like, the shelf life on this could keep going.
Right.
The memo is that... Yeah, like the memo, for example, like in your previous interview when you were talking to your guest, he was talking about how the big story of this is just going to be that there is no story. But I actually think that if QAnon and these conspiracy theorists continue to run with it, then they will parse this memo and make shit up, just like they did with Pizzagate, and then the things they made up are going to be what people start to believe. Wow. Like, there was a significant amount of people who, you know, believed that there was a pedophile ring going on at this pizza place, and still do.
All right, so, and this is why I wanted to talk to you about this, because, you know, 4 years ago, I was very skeptical of whether or not when you would talk about men's rights activists or Gamergate or that stuff, like, is this really politics? And then obviously, you know, 3 years later, the guy's, you know, flashing the white power symbol in the White House. So, you know, there's relevance here. And what you're talking about is, it's not even a conspiracy. It's like a conspiracy machine that is just going to, it's just a function. It doesn't need, it's just one that's going to keep producing the next, like you say, Pizzagate or Benghazi or whatever it is.
Exactly. Like, InfoWars covers this nonstop because for them, there's nothing to actually cover and there's no end to the information because they can take QAnon and just make shit up themselves, which without a doubt is what they're doing.
It's almost an ideological rubric in some ways, right? I mean, it's like just sort of the founding principle, and everything then feeds into it and then just gets sputtered out on the other side. And eventually something's going to stick, right? I mean, it seems like nothing's stuck yet from this except for the process itself. But eventually something's going to stick, and that's what they're looking for, it seems.
Yes, and there's already, like, people, there's, like, if you look online, you can find hundreds of pages, like ebooks that were put together with hundreds of pages that are the complete, like, guide to all the QAnon breadcrumbs left up to this point. And the person who put the ebook together parsing each and every line. Oh, could this mean this event? Could this mean that event? And it's like, and the, for an example of how easy it is to make this shit up is this one's my favorite example. So in November, this random post was put up on 4chan from QAnon. Nothing is random. Everything has meaning. And then the plus sign three times. And then
three times?
Dude, I know who it is. I know who it is. It's Ben Carson.
But then
nailed it.
But then here we go. 7 minutes later, Donald Trump tweets out, "My visit to Japan and friendship with Prime Minister Abe will yield many benefits for our great country. Massive military and energy orders happening." And then the plus sign three times. And so everyone took this as, okay, QAnon is either a member of the Trump administration, and he knew Trump was going to tweet the plus sign three times, so he tweeted it out first as like a wink-wink to all of us who are in on it, or Donald Trump himself posted this. But then if you look further into it, Donald Trump's tweet, the time zone, and the time zone the 4chan image board goes by are not in the same time zone. So Donald Trump actually tweeted his first, and then the guy who says he's QAnon post this one knowing the time zone is going to be off and look like he posted it first.
But you know what's so messed up?
That's awesome.
You know what's so messed up about this?
Wait a second.
This makes Bender be like them. He has to think
like them. Hold on one second. That is. I mean, people have to step back and like a round of applause. That's good stuff right there.
I mean, if it wasn't so right wing and terrible, I think it's kind of a charming folk tradition. Like, ooh, people pass down stories. They pass them around. It's a popular art form.
Now, so what's to prevent us from when we now know the president is going to be in East Asia in a time zone that is like, I guess, you know, 14 hours apart from going on 4chan and just wreaking havoc with stuff
like
this?
Yeah.
Now,
I mean,
let me ask you this. If you can figure this out, and there are people writing ebooks about QAnon, is it not getting out on 4chan, or is it just we don't want to believe that? And, you know, or do you, or like if that, if your theory hits 4chan, then do you become like some type of, you know, a debunker, like a signal to noise ratio? Like you're sent out by the deep state to muddy the waters.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with these breadcrumbs is that even if you say, like, even if you debunk that, then, oh, that's not what it meant. It wasn't meant to be like a message that we're in on it. And this is like, I knew what Trump was going to say. It must mean something else. It's some way there's no way to debunk this because it's so vague and people are just putting what their own belief is on it. And when that belief is destroyed by something like that, then they'll just say, oh, I must have been wrong. I was reading it wrong. It must mean this. And then they have a whole new belief.
So shouldn't
these things, like the breadcrumbs are so vague.
Isn't it time to now acknowledge that Sam Biddle was right?
Yeah. I mean, I always knew he was, but
yes.
So, Matt, how many hours a day are you spending on this?
I mean, with the QAnon thing, it really isn't that much. There's a lot to it, but there's not so much to it in terms of what's out there beyond these message boards. And a lot of people add so much to it with their parsing of the language that it just becomes so muddled. So you'll never really know who is the who like if you're following the actual main QAnon message. You could be following something that someone put up to just mess with people, because again, there's nothing stopping Michael from going on 4chan right now and leaving a QAnon message. It's really not that much, because the stuff that's out there is so vague that you read it and you basically just wait to see what people parse from it and then just look at that, how that can't be true, because it's wrong what you're believing from it. There's really no way to disprove the actual QAnon breadcrumbs, because there's nothing there. You could only disprove what people are believing in the breadcrumbs. And then once you disprove that, they'll just believe they were wrong about the breadcrumb and the breadcrumb is telling them something else.
Is this in your mind, the equivalent to the Gamergate or the MRA movement from like 3 or 4 years ago? Is there any other like strains of deviant right wingism that is growing on these boards?
I mean, there. I don't think there's going to be any names to come from this, because the names who are pushing it are pretty much the big names already in that world. You know, InfoWars, Jerome Corsi, Liz Crokin.
Jerome Corsi
isn't
on this QAnon?
Yes, he's hardcore following this. He puts up videos where he parses random ones he decides he thinks he can decode. He's the InfoWars resident QAnon expert, it seems.
Wow.
I have a question for you, Matt. Do you ever get worried that you're like, you know, like an FBI profiler who like follows serial killers, and they get like sort of gradually it breaks their brain and it drags them over to the dark side and they become killers themselves?
The funny thing
are you
is,
concerned
like,
about that?
More like Heart of Darkness
of
style.
Those,
yeah, Heart of Darkness.
I've been watching a lot of those shows on Netflix recently, the Unabomber one and then Mindhunter. And
right.
I'm like, whoa.
Here's a question for you. Do you think crypto commies, such as myself when I'm being sneaky, could use this QAnon thing to trick people into having a critique of capitalism? Like, I mean, there's this small group of people that controls everything in the world, and they influence elections, and they have all the power. Like, wonder who they are.
Capitalists don't want you to kill hookers in video
games. It's definitely possible. Boom. I mean, the thing is, there's been no, like, main, like, timeline to follow. There's been no decoded version of what a QAnon leaves that's taken the mainstream. Everyone pretty, even the, I guess the closest you could get is what InfoWars thinks something believes. But even then, when you follow these QAnon forums, it's all just like people giving their own, you know, belief of what it could be. And that's sort of why I don't think this is going to blow up to be a Gamergate where the mainstream media covers it, because I think it's just way too confusing. But I do think this is going to be a feeding ground that keeps every conspiracy, like the memo, for example, going much longer than it would have if this whole QAnon thing wasn't there.
Well, it seems to me it's like a, it's like an incubator, right? Like, they're just going to keep rolling conspiracy theories through, and then one is going to hit. And if you've got people like Jerome Corsi and these others who are magnifying it, they're the ones who are going to mainstream it. At one point, one of them is going to hit because it's going to have all the elements. The plus signs are going to be, you know, actually legit or whatever it is. And the thing is going to metastasize. And pretty soon, Devin Nunes is going to be, you know, raising it in the Intel committee. And, you know, they'll get the next Trey Gowdy to do a year and a half worth of committee hearings on it or something. I mean, that's where it's going to come from, right?
I mean, if you think about where Pizzagate came from, it was basically WikiLeaks released these Podesta emails, and a bunch of people got together and were like, these pizza toppings mean different forms of like molesting children, and that's how it took off. They literally just made it up. Now what I wonder about is, if this QAnon thing existed before Pizzagate, could people have just said, oh, maybe we misread it and it wasn't Comet Pizza, it's another pizza place, and we could have had an armed guy go to pretty much every pizza joint in the country until they found something. Which,
well,
they never
should have. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you can't just give up if it's. I mean, you got it. Pedophilia is a big deal.
Pizzagate can't fail you. You can only fail
Pizzagate. Exactly. Can I make a recommendation? Slightly off topic, but I just want to make sure I get this in. Everybody should watch, and I don't think he's really on the map anymore, or maybe I just don't know because I'm not hanging out with Matt every day. But Matt also debated this guy. I think his name was Paul Elam, who was like one of the architect. And it was the funniest thing because Matt was like, hey, you know, I'm going to have this debate with this crazy guy. And I don't know, like, you know, let's hang out in the studio and prep or whatever. And I was like, believe me, you're going to be fine. And we did. And he did this debate. And the whole time the guy's like, Mr. Bender. That's all I can remember is he kept addressing Matt in this very, like,
I remember that
formal debate style. And yes, Sam and I the whole time, just to really underscore, we're all like, all right, Matt, whatever. I think we'll attend to the crisis in Saudi Arabia instead. And this is nonsense.
Oh, and
meanwhile, like 4 years later.
Yeah, 4 years later, incidentally.
These people
he's
run.
Now the Secretary
yeah,
of Treasury.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, hey,
Treasury
all those Secretary. Random people I was following, he's actually now the head of Health and Human Services, the guy that said rape hadn't technically been committed since 1975. He's on the Trump transition.
Where is that guy now?
Which guy? Paul Elam?
Yeah.
Elam.
Yeah, he still runs A Voice for Men. He's totally fallen off. Like, he still is a name in the MRA world, but he definitely didn't take his cues from Cernovich, and I guess he's thinking maybe he should have.
He didn't embrace the full package, because the guys who embraced it, they connected You Can't Get Laid to, like, immigration, and they did the Bannon thing. He must have just stayed with, like, you know what? I really, really hate family court, and that's what I'm sticking
right.
to.
That's pretty much what happened, yeah.
Here's the question. I'm really fascinated by this, and it's so frustrating for me because these people are, like, partly right when you listen in a vague way, like, yeah, there's this group of people that controls everything, and you should question what you read in the media. And then they veer way off course. Like, how much of that is coming from, like, some sort of late capitalist dissatisfaction or rage?
No, it definitely is. I mean, how can you tell someone that distrusts the media, which you rightfully should, and you question certain things because they obviously have agendas too? Like, how do you tell them, like, oh, you're wrong because I read this in the New York Times or Washington Post, which is why I think, you know, progressive leftist media is so important, because it's a way to say, listen, you know, we're not the mainstream, we're alternative media, but we're going to, like, show you what we found from our research and what we looked up and our, what we found, like, our facts, and we're going to show you how the right-wing guys are wrong, too. And that you're just falling into this hole where they're just taking advantage of you. They want your money, so they'll give you what you want to hear. You don't have to go listen and believe the mainstream media. You don't have to listen to those guys either. But, you know, you should not just say this alternative media is factual because they're not saying what the mainstream media is saying.
You know, I mean, the thing is that this dynamic is not even remotely new. I mean, it is, I mean, that's why, like, I don't think this is...
The newness probably comes with the internet, right?
The newness comes with the internet, but the dynamic itself, I think you can trace to early stage capitalism. I mean, this is something that's been going on for a long time, where, you know, there's these alternate universe stuff that has been going on, where people, you know, so much of this, I think, is, and there's some of this on the left too. I mean, certainly it's not as, I think there's not as much money to sort of incubate these things.
Because you're a fucking coward.
Well, exactly. But I'm not just thinking about that, dude. But, like, look, there's this desire, and I think it gets more and more pronounced. And this is even, like, maybe I'm giving too much credit to what's going on with QAnon, because it's quite possible that it's just like somebody stumbled on, like, hey, man, I can actually just create a conspiracy mill, and eventually one of these things are going to hit. But part of it is also is just the more advanced our society becomes, and the more ideas that are out there, and that more ideas that people have to parse, the greater the desire for an answer that explains everything. And particularly, and I think to a certain extent, religion used to serve this function for a lot of people. It still does. But it's nice. I mean, you know, any type of orthodoxy, which basically answers every question for you, takes a lot off of your plate.
I would also recommend.
That's why I wear the same pair of pants every day.
Yes.
Is because I want an arena where I don't have to think.
I and want an arena where I
just,
don't have to
I
think.
I grab the pants. I know my wallet's in there. I know my keys are. I don't have to think about that.
Watch.
Yeah, that's why I'm a communist.
Watch Pat Buchanan's 1992 Republican Party address. Look at Ron Paul's newsletters from the 1980s. I mean, the culture is totally different, and I think the way the conspiracies spread and the grievances, like, Matt's totally on top of, like, how it's moving. But I think the basic story structure, there's nothing new about it. I agree, and you could look at those concrete examples.
There's one thing that I've been thinking about that's been basically based on, you know, one or two of these politicians who are currently in office. And I keep thinking about this guy, Matt Gaetz, that rep from Florida who brought Chuck C. Johnson to the State of the Union.
Yes.
Now, this guy, he sourced an anti-Clinton amendment, like an official resolution from a Reddit subreddit, the Donald Trump, like, fan forum. He actually had a staffer crowdsource ideas for this resolution and officially, like, put it forward. And now what I'm thinking is, what's to stop a guy who's in tune with how these right-wing conspiracy theorists think and is just a craven politician, what's to stop him from logging in his QAnon and putting something out there that would benefit him?
Nothing.
It's like he could do that.
Nothing. I mean, I, you know, maybe somebody just got the idea right now, or maybe they're just doing it. I mean, Or you know, I would imagine a guy like that is like a Chuck C. Johnson ends up doing it. That's the way, you know, like, hey, Matt, thanks for taking me to the State of the Union. Guess what? We're going to work this thing. I mean, that's what's going on here.
It was actually a pizza place in Georgetown. And sent?
As an aside, definitely always call him Chuck C. Johnson, because he's trying to rebrand as Charles Johnson. Don't do that. He's Chuck.
All right. Chuck C. Johnson it is. Well,
Charles Matt, gives him way too dignified of a name.
Ginger neckbeard bastard.
Matt, how's the kid?
he's doing good. He's 2.5.
Oh my god!
And he's like a real boy now. Like he does real things. Like he is into certain shows. He's into certain like toys and
Monster
stuff like
Energy
that.
Drink.
How much soda does
monitoring
he drink?
4chan?
We don't have him drinking soda actually. So
really?
Whoa! Yeah.
What's going on?
When are you going to let him go on the internet, if ever?
When he already actually is addicted to the YouTube Kids app. We try to monitor that and keep that time on there to a minimum.
Oh my God,
we have
that
like
is,
a timer.
See, it going is, on. Not, it is not all nurture. There's definitely nature there. Of course, Bender's son.
That's another thing with the YouTube Kids app and what's on YouTube and what these, like, we've had to block certain videos where we're like, how are they showing this to kids? Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, well,
there's like a whole industry that's churning out like disturbing videos that like children are addicted to for some reason.
What?
Yeah, we were talking about that a couple of weeks ago. I guess there was a big YouTube crackdown.
What
on
are
it.
They?
They basically will like take like a brand named character like Peppa Pig or like I don't know one of the
Paw Patrol guys.
Paw Patrol guys. And they'll take those characters and put them in like their own story, like some like, you know, CGI team from like India or China who are cheap, but they really have no idea what they're creating. And they, you know, they do disturbing things. Like there was one video I caught that I had to just shut off was one of the Paw Patrol guys was sick. And so the doctor cut the Paw Patrol guy open and took out his guts.
God.
That's horrible. That's
and like
up.
kids see like the Paw Patrol character and they're like, I guess like they don't notice the difference. They can't tell between like the good quality Paw Patrol that's like the real thing and this like off brand, like third party Paw Patrol. So it's like they don't see the difference.
The Chinese are ruining Paw Patrol.
And then Dave Rubin gets on and starts complaining about why they've demonetized those. That's my understanding of how that works.
Okay, I like normal Paw Patrol, but I don't have a problem with the alternative. Why would people be so scared of that?
Hey, YouTube, why are you demonetizing? Why are you demonetizing the first 30,000 hits of Chase on the case getting disavowed?
Even if YouTube like allows that stuff on YouTube, why is that on the YouTube Kids app where they're supposed to be like the safe alternative for parents to let their kids watch
Maybe
YouTube?
So they don't raise snowflakes.
Matt, where can people find out more about Doomed?
Doomedpod.com.
Doomedpod.com. And where can people watch your vids? What are you doing over there at cafe.com?
Cafe is like working in a transition period. We have Preet Bharara has a big podcast on our network. So that's the main thing right now.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, folks. Matt Bender, thanks so much, Matt. Great to talk to you, buddy.
Great to talk to you guys, too. Take care, everybody.
Bye, Matt.
Bye. Bye.